This is Hunter Valley Today with Darren Katrubi. You would have heard in our news this morning that our local councils here in the Upper Hunter have been given the green light to increase their rates above rate pegging. What's rate pegging? Well, that's the amount that councils generically are allowed to increase their rates unless they apply to the Independent Pricing and Regulatory Tribunal and they say they can increase it above. Now, it's not just a paper exercise. They actually have to explain and give reasons why they need to increase above that rate pegging figure, which is 0.7% each year. As I said, all three councils here in the Upper Hunter did apply and get above that 0.7%, Muswellbrook 2.5% and Singleton and Upper Hunter Shire 2%. And Singleton General Manager is Jason Lenane. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Darren. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. So the 2% increase, why did Singleton Council ask for that extra?
Yeah, really good question. I think the first part I want to start with is that IPART, in its deliberations last year when considering the rate cap for all councils in New South Wales, somehow come up with the conclusion that 0.7 of 1% would be the appropriate amount of increase we could apply to our rates. Really, we were, as an industry, right across the board, we were all extremely frustrated and disappointed with that because it has no sort of consideration at all for the cost drivers that we're facing, just like every other business are facing moving forward. All the listeners will be aware that the most recent indication from Treasury was CPI, or inflation of 5.1% in the most recent quarter. We all know the cost of fuel's gone through the roof, the cost of materials are going through the roof, so to think that local councils can cover their costs and maintain services with 0.7 of 1% increase was very short-sighted, and actually I just think it was a complete error, and I think the government realised that. They introduced a special one-off opportunity for all councils to go back and put in place what we had in our adopted long-term financial plans. It's not as though we're going anything above and beyond. We just want to get back to what we all agree we should be getting, or what we need, I should say, to continue to provide service to our community. There's 86 councils, I think it was, who undertook the opportunity to get the additional special rate variation, but I really think fundamentally IPART got that wrong last year. They realised that, the government realised it, and that's why they created this other opportunity for us to go back to get what was in our adopted long-term financial plans.
But taking all that into account, Jason, you have got 2%, yet, as you said, inflation's 5.1%. So what's going to give?
Oh, mate, it's a challenge. Absolutely, it's a challenge. Tonight at our council meeting, our council looking at our integrated planning and reporting framework plans, that includes our operating budget, and we're forecasting, even with the 2%, we're forecasting an operating deficit of around $500,000. The good news is, going forward, that won't be the case. There's some things where some other opportunities we've got coming to us over the next few years, we can turn that into a surplus. We've had five surpluses in a row the last 5 years, but it puts a lot of stress. We're not in any way, shape, or form suggesting there's going to be any cuts in services. We've got some opportunities to do things a little bit differently. We're looking at additional income streams we can bring out of our organisation. Getting the rate increase is essential. 35% of our total income comes from rates.
Will you get much sort of backlash from ratepayers, do you think, even with the 2%?
Oh, no one ever wants to pay more to government, do they? So I would expect there would be, but the conversations I've had with most people is they fully understand. And in our instance, the difference between 0.7% and 2% is $15 per annum for your average residential ratepayer. So it's not a massive increase on an individual basis. Comes together all up, it's around $300,000 extra that we desperately need to continue to provide services to our community.
So moving forward, things are looking brighter, and I suppose any organisation that's successful these days and people in roles like yours, Jason, are always looking at various ways and making sure you're doing things, you know, the most productive way you can. And that's obviously the case there at Council with, you know, the future's looking bright despite this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, mate. We have a rigorous process, what we call service delivery reviews, where we're continually looking at what we're doing, why we're doing it, how we're doing it, and how we can do it better. We've also got a number of other things happening on the side of that, So we're looking at we can generate more non-rates related income. So more income that we can bring into our organisation to continue to provide the levels of service, actually look to increase the level of service to our community without actually asking the ratepayer to pay more. So that will be part of our future going forward as well, absolutely.
And are they things you'll discuss with the community as they come up?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Things like on tonight's agenda, we have a report about the creation of our legacy fund, which is about being really smart now to create capacity for future generations to do work and changing how we operate our business. They're public documents already. We're looking at how we invest our cash investment portfolio to try and get better returns without putting it at risk. We're looking at how we can develop a more strategic approach to commercial property holdings. All those things and others are about, as I said, trying to create non-rates-related income to increase levels of service to our community.
And Jason, I can't let you go without asking you the fallout from the BHP announcement about Mount Arthur Coal Mine late last week. Is there much, discussion or planning about the future with that in Singleton Council as there has been here in Muswellbrook?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. We've been working hard for a number of years now, looking at all the different things we need to do to facilitate the evolution of our economy. We're very proud to have coal mining in our local government area. We think coal mining has made so many wonderful contributions to our area. At the same time, we've got our ears wide open to the broader conversation happening across the globe about the carbon economy. So we're doing lots of work within our organisation, in partnership with Business Singleton, our local chamber, with the mining industry and with other levels of government and the other councils of the Hunter as well, making sure we're very forward-thinking about how does our economy evolve and how do we make sure we take advantage of that and how do we work with the mining industry to identify the next highest and best use of the lands and the assets they have in their mine sites. So there are lots of work happening in that space and we're really excited about the future of Singleton.
And just finally, the state budget's on today, so a bit of a question without notice. Is there anything at the top of your wish list at Singleton Council?
If I had to think about top of the wish list, it would be a continuation of the Resources for Regions program and an increase in the allocations made to those communities who are affected by coal mining. That would be right up the top. I'd be looking to see a reduction in cost shifting that's happening from state government to local government. I very much welcome a simplification of the grant funding program that we have with the state government and also a return of the waste levy, the $1 million a year approximately that we send down to Macquarie Street every year in waste levy. We'd love to see that return to our community so we can do more. And you know, you're right across the range of programs we have in terms of managing waste here in Singleton. Mm. If we get some of that $1 million back, we could do even more.
Well, let's see. And to think I thought you were going to say buy the Knights a win in the NRL, but that's apparently unfundable. There's no amount of money that can pay for that.
Mate, I've got to be realistic, don't I?
They nearly had it. It was by that much.
I can't believe they got beat in the last minute. And then, to make it worse, a local junior, a Brenxton boy, scores the try. It was pretty amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, you should be around Bear here at the radio station. He's walking around like he's got this halo over his head because he interviewed him on Saturday on his program.
Yeah,
so he reckons it's all him.
Probably good for me to give Bear a wide berth would be a good idea for next week or two, I reckon.
Yeah, I might do the same, mate. Yeah. What do they say? You know, divided we stand. Divided we fall, united we stand.
That's him.
Cool. Jason, thanks very much for joining us, and we'll see what happens in the budget tonight.
Thanks, Darren. All the best, mate. You all the listeners.
Jason Lanane, the General Manager of the Singleton Council on Hunter Valley Today on 981 2NM.